Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello and welcome to I'd Sooner Forget This, a podcast where guests share with you things which cause them embarrassment from their past. Like when I wrote a poem called The Seed and the Sock that went like this. I don't want to grow, said the seed, or ever to bang, said the knock. I don't want to sting, said the weed, and I don't want to smell, said the sock. I'm Daryl Smith, and with me today is Chrissy Jackson, who's been presenting radio in Norfolk for over 30 years, and is one of the first radio presenters I ever worked with.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Wow. Wow. Oh.
That's why I was super excited to speak to you, Chrissy.
Oh dear, 30 years. Is it really that long?
You've been counting
the weeks, counting the months.
Chrissy, what are we going to be talking about today?
Well, obviously now, as I've been on the radio for 30 odd years and counting, there's been plenty of occasions when things have happened that I wish hadn't. But I think probably going back before I was on the radio, I was a club DJ, which I absolutely loved, and I really wanted to be a club DJ, and I went along and I auditioned. And they said, yeah, that's fine, you could be a DJ, but we can't see you. We can't see you. And I'm only 5'2". Am I not, Daryl?
Yeah.
I'm only 5'2". And this DJ stand was taller than me. So there I was. Getting stuff on the decks and everything and mixing stuff, and people must have been looking at it thinking, who is there behind that DJ stand? So the manager came up with the bright idea of getting a wooden box, a crate for me to stand on, which would then lift me up so you could just about see my forehead over the top, which I think it worked for a while, but as I got carried away and like dancing around like I do, there were a few times when I'd sort of fall off the back of it. So very, very embarrassing. Yeah, I don't even want to think about it, Daryl. I really don't.
How did you get the gig in the first place?
Well, I'd had a conversation with the male DJ at the time, and he told me that they were looking for a new DJ. So I said, why don't you ever have any women? And he said, because they're no bloody good. And there was something about him saying that that made me think, I'm going to give it a go. And, you know, until that time, I'd never thought about then being a DJ. But once that seed had been sown, going back to your poem again, I thought, do you know what? I'm going to give this a go. So I went along and I used to go down to the club, And I practiced on the decks myself until I thought, yeah, I'll come in and I'll have an audition. So I asked them, would they give me an audition? And I passed that, and that was when they said, well, yeah, that's all very well. You can come in, but no one can see you behind the DJ stand. So that's where the box came in. So that was an embarrassing moment. Number one of many.
Did you keep the box?
No. It's probably still there, holed up in the club. Because the club is there, but it's actually all been boarded up now. And I often think, oh, do you know, if we could just get in there and have a look round, the the things that you would find. Probably that box is still there, behind the DJ stand to this day.
What club was it?
That was a club called Penny's in Norwich.
Oh, so you've heard a lot of people talk about Penny's.
Yeah. A big, big club then, back in the 80s. And I DJed there for quite a while, then before getting onto radio. Mm.
Did you enjoy it?
Loved it. I did carry on doing clubs for a while, even after being on the radio. I still love club DJ, and I still love dance stuff to this day, at the grand old age that I am.
So I just assumed that you wanted to like be a radio presenter straight away, but did that come from the DJing?
Yes, yeah, because I then was working in the clubs locally, or one club in particular. We didn't have any local radio then at all. And it was quite funny, if I ever worked with some male DJs as well, they try and play tricks on me, like change the speed of the decks, thinking that I wouldn't notice, and sometimes I didn't. And then I'd start, and it'd be a totally different speed.
Yeah.
But they all thought it was hugely funny, just because they were trying to wind me up. So, you know, that would happen. And then local radio started in Norwich. And I just thought, if there's a dance show there, because by then on the radio, we had the likes of Pete Tong and Robbie Binson and Jeff Young. And I wanted to get on and do a dance show. I wanted to get on and do a soul show on the radio. So that's why I then asked the radio station, can I come along? Did a similar thing, really, saying, can I just come down? Can I just have a go? Please let me come in. Knocking on the door, let me have a go. I suppose I was just lucky at the time that they said, well, you can come in and use the studio when there isn't anyone in there. And again, went through quite a while of trying to keep doing auditions and getting them to listen back and telling me what was right and what was wrong, and just keep going at it, really.
The great thing with radio is that you don't need a stool to present.
No, that's right. No, that's absolutely true. Yeah. Oh, dear me. I can't. Oh, just me standing on this box. What must people have thought, hey?
Could people see you, like, side on?
If they came round to the side and they'd think, what is she standing on? Some wooden crate. But anyway, there we are.
So you said about that you've stumbled sometimes off the back of it.
Yeah, I have Daryl, I think there's something about me stumbling around. I will fall over anything. And I've fallen off stage on more than one occasion, because there was a few years after that, and then I'd got into the radio. I got booked to do a Panasonic roadshow in Lowestoft.
So presenting it?
Presenting on there. And they had some, I can't remember who the bands were now, but the bands were there, and then there were music playing, and we had to give this stuff out. It was a big thing with all lights and big stage and everything. And again, as I do dance around, and I got carried away, and I was thinking, this is great, everyone's clapping and cheering away, and I'm up and down the stage until I went a little bit too far and fell off the side off that. And I'm just so glad that it was pre-mobile phone days, because that would have been liquid gold for someone, wouldn't it? That definitely would have, they would have been able to win some money with that on a few TV shows.
How many people did you do that in front
of? Oh, there was absolutely hundreds, because it was in Lowestoft, you know, up on near the East Point Pavilion, up there on the green. It was there that it happened. And to this day, if I'm walking up and down, I think, that's where I fell off stage. That's where I went side left. It was the left-hand side of the stage. And there's always that point when you fall off and people go, oh my goodness, is she all right? And people come running to you and then you're trying to get up and say, no, I'm absolutely fine, I'm absolutely fine. And then I had to get back on the stage whilst people were laughing because it, oh dear me. And then I just had to try and carry on. But at the same time, I was just mortified. I thought, do you know what? I really hurt here, but I've just got to carry on.
When you walk past where that happened, how does it feel now?
Awful. Because I can go back to that day like that. And I think of the Panasonic Roadshow on the green, getting carried away, dancing on the stage, and then all of a sudden find myself exit stage left on the floor. But it's just that point when everyone runs around you. We all do it, don't we, when things like that happen, if you do fall over and you instantly want to get up and go, no, 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 I'm absolutely fine. But inside, you're secretly dying.
So did you just have to get up and just finish the show?
Just get on and finish it. But the time. And then people kept saying, are you sure you're all right? And I kept saying, yeah, but I really, really, really wasn't. I just wanted to go away, just forget all about it. But oh, like I say, before the days of mobile phone footage, not that long before, really, because that would have been the mid-90s. So phones now are starting to come in.
That's interesting, because the thing is that if that happened, like, say if that happened at the weekend,
yes,
that would have instantly been put on to the internet.
It would have been everywhere, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Hey? And that's a great news story. Radio presenter falls off of...
I might have been trending, who knows?
You missed out.
Yeah, I did. Well, yeah.
Did you do a lot of like road shows and things like that then?
Yeah, well, I suppose then at that time, local radio used to go out and do quite a few outside broadcasts and things. And I have always enjoyed that part of it. So I do like that. Whether it's because you're going back to when you used to work in the clubs and things. I've always liked that side of presenting as well, getting out there and doing stuff. So I enjoyed it.
Which is amazing, because a lot of presenters...
Some don't like it, do they?
Hate being able to see the audience.
Yeah, and how many people... You do come across presenters who will say they love being on the radio, but they can't get out there and chat and meet other people. Which I think is a shame, because, you know, I think it's great. Mm. I do think it's great doing that. I love it, absolutely.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
So when you were doing the Panasonic Roadshow, that was when you were presenting breakfast?
No, that would have been just before then, because by then I'd done a few shows, because I was still doing the dance show and I'd also done evening shows. I was then doing some afternoons, and I then went to mid-morning, which is basically similar type of show to what I'm doing now, on Norfolk. But so I would have been doing, yeah, I was doing mid-mornings then, and that was just prior to going on Breakfast with Rob. Yeah.
What year was that?
Well, we started Breakfast 99, April 99. I remember that day. And yeah, really enjoyed doing Breakfast for, what was it then, 14 years about Breakfast with Rob. And then we had some fun, lots of fun.
when I asked you about doing this podcast, one of the first things that you remembered was like something that happened when you were presenting with Rob.
Yeah, well, this was. Now, do you ever watch, or did you ever watch Lottery Draw on the telly? Going back a few years to when Bradley Walsh presented that,
yes,
the draw, and I can't remember the actual what it was Rob said, but Rob mentioned something about the show and with Bradley Walsh. We were having a bit of a laugh and a discussion about that. And then play the next song. The phones go. And of course, you know that a lot of the time presenters do a lot of the time answer the phones themselves. So we pick up the phone, start having a conversation with this person who says that they are Bradley Walsh. And they are listening at that time. But we didn't believe them. We thought, no, you're pulling a fast one. This isn't the real Bradley Walsh. And we end up putting the phone down on Bradley Walsh.
Is this on air?
Well, this is off air because the song was on. And then
right.
then we have to say that someone called and said that they said they were Bradley Walsh. Well, Bradley Walsh rings back. It says... But it is me. It really is Bradley Walsh, and then we have to get him on and have a chat to him on the show about the lottery. But I think what transpired was that Bradley Walsh got a lot of family who live in Norfolk, and that was the reason why. I think he said he was up here playing golf at the time, and we had a big giggle about it. And you know, it quite often comes up in conversation the day that we put the phone down on Bradley Walsh, and then he, because we say it's not you, really. And I mentioned this not that long ago, really, a couple of months back, on the radio about this happening, and we had some calls in with people saying, "We remember that day, Chrissy. We remember it because we were listening at the time." And even now, they giggle about it, about the phone being put down on Bradley Walsh.
How did you feel the moment that you realised it actually was Bradley Walsh?
Well, of course, there is that moment, isn't there? Because you never think someone like that is going to phone your show. Probably in London and things like that, it will happen all the time, or it's probably been set up for them to call anyway. But just out of the blue like that, and I'm supposed to think, oh, he was listening. He was listening at that point and then picks up the phone just like anyone else would do. And then you end up saying, no, you're not Bradley Walsh, really. Put the phone down. But he's a really lovely guy. Really lovely guy. And that was a funny moment. Something that happened not that long ago. It was only last year, in actual fact. So I'd started this new show. And of course, I'd only been doing it a few months. And a lady had to come in. She was called the Lady Mole Catcher. Do an interview with the Lady Mole Catcher.
Okay, I'm assuming this is the lady who catches moles.
Who catches moles. Yes, you've got it. Anyway, I start to talk to her and I put my back out. My back just went. And I'm in agony trying to... interview Lady Molecatcher with my back going in spasm as I'm trying to ask her about her career of catching moles and what happens. Outside in the middle studio, the producer is seeing that I'm in agony, and I'm thinking, I just don't know what to do. I've got to try and carry on. Lady Molecatcher is trying to talk to me, knowing that I'm in agony, try and just carry on as normal. It was like something out of a comedy show. It was Anna who was the producer on that day. She comes running in with one of these heat patches to try and put, and I'm trying to undo the top of my trousers so she can get this on my back as we're trying to carry on this conversation about catching moles, if you will. It was the most surreal thing that's ever happened to me in all the years of being on radio. And
do you think anyone on there, anyone listening noticed?
I listened back to that and I thought, do you know, I don't know if you would know. I'm really hoping that people didn't. But afterwards, that's all we talked about. And, you know, Lady Molecatcher, she was a star because she just carried on as if nothing had happened, all the while my back is in spasm and I'm in pain.
She may have assumed that's a normal show.
It was chaos in that studio and me having to stand there with this heat patch on my back and carry on. Oh, dear me, what a day that was.
I'm going scroll back to when you first were DJing and standing on that box. What were you doing before then?
Before I was the DJ?
Yeah.
I was selling cookers.
Really?
Yes. I was selling cookers and fridges, electrical items. Yes. That's what I was doing then. I had that as a part-time job because I was a mum. So that was my little part-time job whilst the kids were at school. So I did that. And then got into DJing.
Wow, I didn't realise you were already a mum when you started. So you did all that like extra work.
Yeah. Once I'd got in the DJ stand and I'd had a go at mixing and just getting the tunes out that I loved and things, I thought, you know, I love this. Why didn't I not think about doing this before? And it was just like a penny dropping, really, and thought, this is it. This is now I've found what I want to do. I'd left school and gone to work in a bank and got married and become a mum. And that had never really crossed my mind. But once I'd got in that DJ stand, I thought, this is it. This is what I want to do.
You don't need to say their name, but do you know who the person was who said to you that women couldn't DJ?
Yeah.
Do you feel like you've got, this is weird, but do you feel like you've kind of got to thank them?
Well, probably in a way, because of that, because that made me want to prove them wrong.
Yeah.
So, yeah, in a way, I suppose, yeah, in a strange way.
Oh, obviously, because they said a horrible sexist thing, but you've like spent a whole career proving that wrong.
Right, I'm going to prove you wrong.
Has it felt like throughout, say through the DJing and radio, that you've always been having to try and like prove yourself in that way?
Well, I've loved doing what I do. I've always been surprised by some of the things people have said, and there weren't many women on radio then. A lot more now, which is fantastic. It's great. Bring it on. Like to see more. But I suppose back, I mean, it seems like a generation ago now, and it was, but you did have to put up with blokes being stupid and, you know, silly buggers, really. I started to do the dance show, and then when a daytime shift became available, and I went to the boss of the radio station and said, I'd really like to have a go at this. And he said, well, we'll see how it goes. And we'll let you just do a couple of weeks and we'll see if the listeners like it. And if they don't like a woman being on, then you'll be off and off you have to go.
Wow. So not you, a woman.
A woman, if they don't like a woman being on. And my very first show that I did, and I've seen this boss since then, when I was about to do my first show and he came in and said, so are you all set then? And I went, yeah, I'm really looking forward to it. I think I'll enjoy it. And he said, it's not you I'm bothered about. It's the listeners. And then just turned around and walked out. And I thought, and I'm just about to do my first show.
Bizarre.
Yeah. I thought. So all the time I kept thinking, well, I've just got to prove you wrong.
Yeah.
Prove you wrong, I can
and,
do it.
And when you did, like, how did it feel when you did, like, your first show?
Awful.
Really?
Awful. Awful. Absolutely awful. I couldn't wait to get it over with. Because I think I'd got myself so nervous about it. And you'll know what it's like, Daryl. It is. You want to do it. But then the minute you see that red light, once I got the first one out of the way, fine. Absolutely fine. Absolutely fine. But I was a lot easier with it. But that very first one. Oh.
Did the show itself go okay, though?
Yeah, yes, I think it went okay. I think it's just the manager beforehand saying, it's not you I'm bothered about, it's the listeners. And so therefore you feel a bit uneasy, don't you?
And that played on you the whole show.
That played on me, yeah, it did. But again, I just thought, well, I'm just going to have to prove you wrong and prove that I can, you know, I can do it. And, you know, carry on from there, really.
It's so interesting that a horrible remark basically totally
changes you, because yeah. I've been waiting so long to get on and do that. Yeah, and I'm glad those days aren't around anymore.
Like, you've seen a lot of women come through radio, I mean, and go, but does it look like it is actually, like, better than what it was?
Better. Well, there are more women there, and that's good. I personally still think it's a bit of a shame that a lot of stations just think women are there to present the travel and the weather and just be a little sidekick. I think that's a shame, because women have a lot to say, and I think it's slowly the balance is redressing itself, which is good.
So how has it felt, Chrissy, to share some of those stories?
It's great looking back, and it's great having a bit of a laugh, and it's just remembering the times on the radio. It's not just the times as well that you've laughed. We've cried quite a bit on radio as well. When 9/11, the day after the 9/11, we had to go on air and present the show, and you think, what am I going to do? How can you dress that and try and reflect how people feel? And we had people on. It was a breakfast show, but people were on the next day in tears. I was in tears as well. So, you go through all sorts of emotions on radio, and that to me is why I think radio is the best, because you can't go back and do another take. It is what it is. You get on with it. You have a laugh. You have a cry. You reflect people's lives, and you live your life. And that for me is why radio's up there. Long may it continue.
And specifically, say, sharing the story of you and your DJ box, how have you felt about people knowing about that?
Well, I hope they laugh. I really, really do. And if they want to picture me falling off that box, so much the better.
And if you could go back and speak to yourself the day that you decided that you wanted to start DJing, is there anything that you'd like to say to yourself?
I suppose don't take no for an answer. Carry on. And looking back, you know, you're just going to have the best time ever. And it's just fantastic. I love it.
Thank you, Chrissy. If people would like to listen to you on your regular show, what station is it on, and how can they hear?
It's BBC Radio Norfolk, and I present mid-morning show. It's 10 till 1, and it's, I don't know, how can I describe what the show is like? We ask people about their lives, we have requests on, we have competitions. Yeah. It's a good listen. I hope so anyway.
For me, as someone who's who grew up in Norfolk and now has moved away, it's a nice way of remembering what it's like and like hearing the accent and everything that, and just how amazing Norfolk people are. Like, they're different from anyone else.
They share so much, don't they?
Yeah.
I love them.
Thank you, Chrissy. Thank you for listening. This has been I'd Sooner Forget This. My guest this week was Chrissy Jackson. My name's Daryl Smith. And if you have got a few minutes spare, then please do give the podcast a review on iTunes. 5 stars is the only option that works at the moment. And check out the Facebook and Twitter pages where you'll be able to see extra bits and pieces from every episode. And just make sure you're subscribed for the next episode. Thank you. Bye.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.